Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye. So we started a series a couple weeks ago. This will be the third message about the Kingdom Fruit series that we started. And this, if you remember in the parable, Jesus was talking about the types of hearts. This is really important that you get this. Let me re-explain for those of you that weren't here for the series that I did on the heart, because a lot of people don't understand what the heart is. The heart is the soul and the spirit together, and because they are so closely intertwined, sometimes your spirit sounds like your heart or your soul, and sometimes your soul sounds like your spirit. And it takes the Word of God to rightly divide those. Remember in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, where it says that the Spirit of God is like a sword and it divides asunder the joint from the marrow. It divides asunder the joints from the marrows and the soul from the spirit. So the Word of God is what will go into your heart and tell you what part's your soul and what part's your spirit. Now, everything that comes out of your spirit is God. Everything. And some things that come out of your soul is God. Because our souls are being renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's talking about your soul. And be transformed by the renewing of the Word. Romans chapter 12. That's talking about your soul. Because your spirit is completely born again. It cannot be any more born again. Your spirit will go on into eternity exactly like it is right now today. Period. There is not going to be any transformation whatsoever of your spirit when you go into eternity. Your soul is the part that we're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling during this earthly existence. And your body, you're just holding it together by the anointing until one day Jesus completely transforms it. Amen? For some of us, the older you get, the more that you appreciate that. So your heart is the part where your soul and your spirit meet. And that's actually the part of you that determines the direction of your life. Before you're born again, your heart was dark because your spirit was dead. See, now that can bring into clarity and understanding some of those scriptures, especially in the Old Testament. It talks about the heart of man being desperately wicked. And, you know, we're all broken and, you know, one day everybody's got a stony heart and yada, 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 yada. Because that was true in the Old Testament because there was no born again experience that was available for anybody in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you can be born again, which gives you a brand new spirit, which then also gives your heart a halfway, completely brand new makeover. But if you don't allow your heart, your spirit, and your soul to come together in unity, then your heart is usually divided. Your heart can lead you, and even though the Spirit of God doesn't want you to go that way, it still comes from your heart. Is everybody following me? So your heart, you want to follow your heart. You want to learn to follow your heart because you cannot directly contact your spirit because it filters through your heart. But is everybody with me? I didn't lose nobody, right? Okay, good. So the way you communicate, the way you live, your personality, your will, your emotions, they come from your heart. But if they're not coming from the born-again, spirit-led part of you, it's just coming out of your soul, and we need to get our soul into alignment with our spirit. So that's why we're renewing our mind. That's why we spend the rest of our earthly existence learning the truths of God's Word that are impacting our soul so that our soul and our spirit can work together in unison, and then your heart is perfect towards God. That's why Jesus said, "The pure in heart shall see God." The purer you make your soul, the purer you make your heart, your spirit and your soul working together, the more pure they work together, the more of God is revealed to you. Not because he's hidden, but because you now understand him and you can see him. All right? Everybody following me? All right. Good. Praise God. It's a good church. Must have a good preacher. So, we are talking, Jesus was talking about the ground of your heart. That's why you can have a born again, brand new heart, but yet you still have things that you need to work out because there's still soul contact. And our soul still has problems from our past. We trained our soul to operate a certain way, especially those of us that were in the world as deeply as we were in the world. We trained our soul to operate, to think, to act, to talk a certain way. And so your heart still has the remnants of that soulish person trying to manipulate you into the old form that you were. Because that form served the devil, and the devil wants you to serve him. God knows that you were created to serve him, so he's influencing you from your spirit. The devil influences you from the soul. God influences you from the spirit. So the more of God's life you can pump into your soul, the less opportunity the devil has to dissuade you, to tempt you, to... All right, good. I'm kind of recapping a lot here, but I know this is really important stuff. Because people say, well, what's my heart then? If I have a stony heart, well, then I'm broken. You know, if I got a wayside heart, well, then I'm broken. And I guess my born-again experience never really took root, because if my heart's wayside heart... Well, then I'm not born again, because why do I have hard packed places in my heart? It's because your heart is still consists of pieces of your soul. So Jesus wants us to make the soul part of us fertile, so the Word of God can go down in there and root down, because that's still part of your heart. So I don't want anybody to listen to this series and think, well, I just got a broken heart, because everything that you just described about the wayside heart is exactly how I'm rolling. And so therefore, I must be broken, and I must not have a new heart, like it says in Ezekiel 36:26. No, you do have a new heart, but you're not living from the new part. You could be living from the old part. So what you need to do is you need to allow the spirit to influence the soul instead of allowing the soul to influence you. Amen? That wasn't too deep. All right. So when Jesus is talking about the different types of these hearts, he's talking to people that have accepted the kingdom truth. So basically born-again people. So he's talking to them. So if a born-again person can still have a wayside heart, can still have a stony heart, can still have a weeded heart, or can have a pure heart that brings forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. So Jesus is telling us, go from, here is the descriptive characteristics of a wayside heart. If those are yours, well then repent. Repent means to change the way you think. See, now repentance, you understand now, is in the soul, because your soul is where you think from. So change the way you think and align it back towards the kingdom truths. This is really good stuff. So if you have a way, if you have all the characteristics that I preached last week and you have a wayside heart, well, then that should benefit you. It should bless you to know that, hey, those are characteristics that I noticed in my life. So I should repent. I should change the way I think from those things, and then therefore my heart will not have any wayside areas in it. No hard packed areas. That's what the wayside was the hard packed areas where people have walked on you and crushed you and forced you into ground that is easily obtained, that the fowls of the air have easy access to. So now we're going into the stony heart. That's the second type of heart that Jesus talked about. So I'm going to read Mark chapter 4:5-6, it says, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. In Luke 8:6, it said that the seed fell on a rock that lacked moisture. And then in Mark chapter 4 verses 16 and 17, where Jesus gave the understanding, the revelation of all the things that he said in the first seven verses, in 16 and 17, he says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, now get this, When they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Luke 8:13 says, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. All right, so let's go back to Mark chapter 4, and I want to kind of break this down so that it makes sense. Mark chapter 4, 5 and 6. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, thank you, sir, it withered away. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. Stony ground is ground that doesn't have heart. And I don't know if you're catching that, what I'm saying here. Remember, your heart is the soil. Your heart is the fertile, deep, dark earth, like the black earth. You know, if you go outside when you're a kid and they just plowed the cornfields, and you go out and it like maybe rained the day before, you go out there, you could just grab up this huge chunk of just really dark, black, beautiful. I mean, it smells a certain way. It's just like the most fertile stuff on earth, especially around here in northern Illinois. We have some of the most fertile ground in the earth. You know, so that's what it's talking about, is that the problem with this earth is that there's not a lot of it, because there's rocks that are taking up all of the free space in a person's heart, in the stony person's heart. So what they're lacking is heart. Passion. You know, you have no heart. You know, they even use this in sports terminology. You know, that kid's got a lot of heart. Look at him. You know, you're talking about depth. You're talking about passion. You're talking about persuasion. And, you know, what's the amazing part about this particular ground? And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up. Immediately it sprang up. You know why it sprang up immediately? Because it couldn't go down. Andrew Womack tells a story one time when he was in school, and I've actually seen this same experiment done, where you take a tomato plant, a little mini tomato plant, and you plant it in dirt, and in one container you planted it, you had about an inch or two of dirt, and in another container you plant the same plant, came from the same store, you plant the same little seedling, tomato seedling, but you plant it in something that's got like 12 or 14 inches of dirt. And then you put it on the same shelf right next to the window in the school, and you give them the exact same water. You know, you'd assign some kid to give them the exact same water, exact same time, exact same way every single day. And I've seen this with my own eyes, to where the tomato plant that's in the little bit of dirt, it shoots up. You know, like a couple weeks later, the tomato plant that's in the little bit of dirt is like a foot tall, and it's big. And it looks healthy, and it looks like it's growing. And the other one, it's still like only a couple inches. And you're thinking, man, less dirt, better. You know, I was when I was a kid, and the teacher would point it out and say, well, you know, it looks like somebody put some Miracle-Grow in there. And, you know, and he would make jokes and all this stuff. Well, what would happen a few weeks later, 3, 4, 5 weeks later, the other plant started to finally catch up. And then there, at some point there, this plant that was in the shallow soil started to actually turn white and brown, and it started to wither a little bit, and it never actually produced tomatoes, where the other tomato plant got bigger and bigger, and it started to have blooms and blossoms, and then finally eventually tomatoes and this whole thing. And what the teacher said was, the reason that that plant shot up is because it could not go down. It had nowhere to go down. It had no depth of earth. So the only thing it could do was shoot up. That seed, it's built to grow. So if it can't grow down, it has to grow up. These are they which receive the word of God and immediately receive it with joy. Yay! Preacher, good message. Yay, that's a good truth. I should totally do that for 4 days. Yay, I'm with you. Amen. Sometimes the loudest people in church is not ours, but sometimes the loudest when I go and visit other churches, sometimes the loudest people, I'd ask like the pastor, who's so-and-so? They're loud. They're being nice, but I'm just like, sometimes the loudest people are the ones that are like, they have no depth of soil. They're like, yeah, that's a good word. Are you going to put it into action? No way. But that's got a good amen to it. Hey, okay. Well, I don't want your amen. I want you to have heart. I want you to have depth of soil. Some of the best messages I've ever preached in my life, it was pin drop quiet. Because I believe the word of God was going so deep down into people's hearts that they were just like, wow, that's good stuff. And I don't need amens to keep me going because I'm trying to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes an amen will distract me. Not that I'm telling anybody not to amen me. I'm just saying, do whatever you want to do. But I'm saying that I'm not motivated or demotivated by the responses that I'm getting from the folks because I'm ministering the incorruptible seeds of the word of God. If you want to fall asleep during the seeds of the Word of God, fall asleep. Amen. I'm going to keep ministering it, and there's going to be people that get it. And they're going to have depth of soil, and they're going to receive it, and it's going to change their lives, and they're going to bring back 30, 60, and 100. The Lord gave me a really great revelation that I can't get into about that exact thing. The Word goes everywhere. Word goes everywhere. Why is everyone not impacted? Because some people don't want it. They just don't want it. They might pretend that they want it. They might show up into places where everybody else shows up and gets it. But some people just don't want to change. Have you ever heard anybody say this? Well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way that I am. That's the way I'm going to be. That's the way I've always been. That's the way I'm always going to be. Well, guess what? The kingdom of God don't work that way. The kingdom of God is us going from glory to glory, from faith to faith. The kingdom of God is built on change. Praise God. God changes not. We're supposed to be catching Him. You know what that means? We're supposed to be changing all the time. You're supposed to be in a constant state of repentance. Changing the way that you think, aligning it with what God thinks. Changing the way that you think, aligning it with what God thinks. Changing old thought patterns, old ways of believing, old former ways of ministering to the Lord and accepting new things in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that everything has to be like reborn every couple of weeks in your life. When you find something that has really benefited your life and has set you free and given you great access to the things of God, hang on to it. Take your testimonies and keep them and remember them and go back through them and relive them. That's okay. But if you only have one testimony, you're not living the Christian life you're supposed to be. Because we're supposed to have a testimony that led to a testimony that leads to a testimony that leads to... You should at some point never run out of testimonies. You should be... Somebody should come up to say, hey, I'm going through this thing. Hey, I got a testimony. I went through that once. You know how you have a testimony? You face a test. Amen. Praise God. That's not a shout. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up. Immediately. Because it had no depth of earth. The because it sprang up immediately is because it has no depth of earth. So if what you're thinking right now is, man, sometimes I've heard something and I've just had like this immediate joy. Great. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's all that you have, then you didn't receive it. Man, I hope you're getting this. This is really important. You should receive the word with gladness. It should immediately perk up your ears and make your heart go, yes. But if that's the only response that you have no depth of soil. You should receive it and say, oh, man, I am going to mix faith with this and put it into action, and then I'm going to have what the word says. But if all you say is, oh, that's cool, I should repeat that sometime in my life because that preacher said that. Then you have no depth of soil, and all you did was receive the word immediately with gladness and sprang up. Yay! Amen. There are sermons that I've literally probably listened to, and I don't want to exaggerate, but I know there's one sermon in particular that I've listened to at least 200 times. At least 200 times. And still, to this day, I haven't listened to it in a while, but I know that if I put it on, if I listen to it tomorrow or something like that, I know that I know that I know that I would get something out of it. I know. I just know it. That's having depth of soil. That's a person that wants God's word to produce in their lives. And I'm not like touting on me. I'm just saying that if it's just about this, if you just come here and get this and, you know, good message and amen, you know, and that, you know, there's some good truths in there. Maybe not. I'll put those into action. That's immediately springing up. And that's not what we want. We want depth of soil. You know what I would rather have you come up to me after the sermon and say, hey, explain that. I missed this part right here. This verse right here, I didn't get it. Explain that, because I really want this to go as deeply into my heart as it can possibly go. That would bless me. That would be somebody that I know that they want to get it. When I get people calling me, hey, will you explain this verse to me? Or emails or text messages. Hey, what's this verse all about? I mean, it just makes my heart leap because I'm not at church. That means I'm getting a text or a call or an email from somebody who's not at church, who's somewhere, who's got their nose in the book, who's trying to listen to the Spirit of God, who's praying for somebody, who's talking to somebody about Jesus. Hey, I was talking to this person about Jesus and they said this and I thought this. And so what's the, oh, I love those questions. That means that we are doing things that aren't just about sitting in here with our butts in our pew. That means that you have depth of earth and you're taking it out into your life and into your world. You should have lots of questions. There are basic things about what a lot of people believe that I don't totally espouse. And I'm not going to tell you. But there's just things that I got major question marks about. And I need God to reconcile them one day. And He will, because He's faithful. And it says that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. But work those things out. Start working on them. Let the Word of God go deeper than just some surface stuff. And if it doesn't change your lifestyle, if it doesn't change the way you live, if it doesn't change the way you speak, the way you think, then it didn't go deep into your heart. Because the Word of God will change things. It will. There is not a single person on this earth that has never had the Word of God go down into their heart that it's returned to God void. God's Word will not return to Him void. But if you don't let it in your heart, it's just going to sit there, unused seed. Praise God. Because it had no depth of earth. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched. You know what seeds need? Sun! They need the sun! A seed cannot survive. A plant cannot grow, period, without the sun. And yet here the exact same thing that produces life, that produces photosynthesis, which is the actual energy that plants have, this same thing is killing the plant. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. You know, I've seen this, and we're talking about your hearts. We're talking about people, okay? This is the Lord giving us an illustration of people. I have seen this, where I've been in a service, and you got Sister Mary sitting right here getting blessed. Her heart's just exploding with love and adoration for God and His Word. And Brother Bob sitting right next to him has got his face all screwed up. Looked like he just swallowed 14 lemons. He's mad at the world. He's mad at the preacher. It looks like he's about to throw something at me. Sitting in the same pew. What's the difference? The difference is because one of them is in photosynthesis and they're receiving the sun and it's adding energy and life and vibrancy to their life, and the other one's getting scorched from the same sun, from the same word. Man, this is really important. If you go with your heart ready to receive, if you go with your heart open and you don't have bars and locks and shades and umbrellas and whatever else you got to block the Word of God from getting into your life, offenses, we're going to get into that. If you come and you let your heart be open and you let the Lord in, then the sun will come in and produce life and energy and reproduce and fruit and all the things that you want from your Christian life. Or you can sit there and say, give me your best shot, preacher. I've heard all the good sermons. Yours ain't going to change me either. The same sun that brings life and energy to the seed that's ready to receive it is the same sun that's scorching the other one. And you see the difference here is because when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. You know what the roots of plants produce? Moisture, access to moisture that's in the earth. Moisture. What is moisture? In fact, in Luke 8:6, it says it fell on a rock and it lacked moisture. Moisture is the moistening of the Word of God. You know, if all the only thing that you have access to in your life as it relates to the seeds of God is my sermons, you will dry up and get scorched. I am not, first of all, and I'm saying this purposefully, first of all, I ain't got it all figured out. I didn't get any amens on there. You must all be bamboozled pretty good around here. Amen. So firstly, I do not have it all figured out. So therefore, if my voice is the only voice, you don't have enough voice. You need that. I'm a pastor and I teach. So what you can get from me is a pastoral anointing and a teaching anointing. I am not an apostle. I do apostolic things, but I am not an apostle. I am not a prophet. I do prophetic things, but I am not a prophet. Amen? I am not an evangelist. I do evangelize. We are all called to evangelize. If you've never led somebody to the Lord, you haven't lived Christian yet. Amen. And I know somebody's going to twist that and get guilty and condemned for you, but, you know, sheep reproduce. Unless they're sterile. Amen. I am not an evangelist, but I evangelize. We're all called to do that. Go into all our world and preach the good news. So if you're not getting an evangelist's voice in your life, if you're not getting a prophet's voice in your life, if you're not getting an apostle's voice in your life, you're missing. Now, I strive as the pastor of the church, as the leader of the beloved organization, to bring these voices in and to give them access to you. But I can't do it as much as you need it. You need it more than that. And you need more than just one sermon a week. If the only thing that you're getting into your heart is 1 hour, one message from me a week, you'll die. I'm just telling you, the world will get you. That ain't enough. You will get scorched. The sun will scorch you. The same sun that gives life will scorch you. Because your roots need to go down. They need access to the moisture. That moisture is the Word of God. And it should be coming from you from every direction. A plant, if you just watered one side of the dirt for a plant, you know that plant will eventually lean over and go that way? It will end up with basically a birth defect. It'll cause problems for that plant. You are supposed to be getting, your roots are supposed to be down deep, and you're supposed to be getting access to moisture from all directions, and the sun should come up in one way and go down another way. This is how you become a healthy plant. You should be hearing more voices than mine. Now, I'll tell you, if you become one of those people that just listens to every old preacher on YouTube, you'll die. All right? So in one instance, if I'm the only voice, it's probably not enough unless you're here a lot and I'm talking a lot, but you still don't have all the diversity that you need. And the other part is if you have, I want to be careful here. I don't want to be that guy on YouTube that somebody else makes fun of. You shouldn't just be like, Brother Copeland says, you shouldn't be just like a baby bird. just sitting in a nest with your mouth wide open, just waiting for anybody to come shove anything in it. You're supposed to rightly divide the word. Which means that, you know, one of the gifts that you're supposed to have is when you hear the word, you're supposed to be a prophet. You're supposed to sit and judge the prophecy. There should be a judgment of the words that come towards you. You should decide, or you should determine, that they rightly align themselves with the truths of the word of God. All right? So there's a balance to this. You need to make sure that those other voices that are coming your way are coming your way, A, because they love you. And this is real easy. This is a real, real, real easy way for you to eliminate some of the voices in your life, especially from preachers, because there's a lot of preachers out there that don't love anybody. Amen. And they're even popular. But they don't love anybody. They just want the power and they want the clout and they want to be able to tell everybody what to do and let everybody put them on the magazines. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is not about being on the cover of Charisma magazine. And I don't know who's on the cover of Charisma magazine, so don't come back to me later and say, but he's a really good guy. I'm just saying, that's not what we're shooting for. Now, if they want to put me on the cover of Charisma magazine, praise God. Hopefully they take a picture of me with Kay, because then I'll look good. But that's not the point. The point is that they should be, if we minister, anything that we do according to 1 Corinthians 13, if you don't do it with God's kind of love, it's being done wrong. And there's a lot of people out there that have an anointing. It happens a lot with prophets. They have a prophetic anointing on their lives, but they have no love for people. So then, therefore, their anointing, their gift, gets filtered through their soul that doesn't have a love for people, and they end up cursing things. Or sending people on wild goose chases, or telling you to buy... I'm not going to say it. Telling you to do things that you shouldn't do, because we did not rightly divide the word. You have to rightly divide the word. And even from trusted sources. Don't just sit back there and to go into church coma and just let anything come. You know, I don't have the same revelations I had 3 years ago. Some of you were here 3 years ago. And some of the revelations I have today, they don't correlate with some of the revelations that I had 3 years ago. I don't think I was preaching like blasphemy or anything like that. But I have a greater understanding of some things, and some of the things that I preached 3 years ago, I wouldn't re-preach it that way. I'd re-preach the same thing, but I would come at it a different direction that makes more sense, that more rightly aligns with the Word of God. So even with me, you should take the things that I say and you should rightly divide those. You have a responsibility when you come in here. If you're really coming in here with your heart, and you're really coming in here to allow the kingdom of God to live in you and through you, then you have a responsibility to guard your heart and to make sure that the right things get in, the wrong things don't get in, and you develop the right things so that it produces fruit. Praise Jesus. This isn't all about me. This isn't all about the praise and worship team just coming in here and playing y'all a good song. Your heart should be connected to that. We can't worship for you as a praise and worship team. We can lead you, but we can't do it for you. And it's the same way when I minister the word. I can get revelations. God can flow through me. God can anoint the words that are on my mouth and send them right at you. And there are times that I know that people said, you were talking directly to me. And I say, no, I wasn't. And yes, you were. Okay, fine, I was, but I wasn't thinking about you. The Spirit of God was thinking about you. And they could go right at you and you can say, wow, that was cool. Never mind. Get out of the way. I've got things to do. You have to come in on purpose with your heart ready to receive those truths. You have to already have your dirt fallowed. You have to have it plowed. You have to have the right moisture in it, the nitrogen, all the things that the farmer's got to do. It's crazy science. So anyway, you have to be prepared. You have to prepare your heart for the seeds of God's word if they're going to accomplish anything in your life. You have to prepare your heart. I can't do that. Your wife can't do that. Your husband can't do that. You have to do that. Amen. That's a really good truth. That's a really good truth. So I want to go down in 16 and 17 where the Lord gave us the interpretation of the parable. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. and they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. The first thing I want to point out here is that they so endure but for a time. You know, you can receive the truths of God and you can put them into action right away, which is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to mix the word of God with your faith and put it into action. Faith has action. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to hear the truths and then you're supposed to mix them with your faith, the way that you believe, the full persuasion of your heart, and then you put those into action. And I can tell you that this is where the majority of people are in the body of Christ. They do that. You know, especially here at Beloved Church, you guys are awesome. You're not here because you're getting some star on a chart. You're not working your way towards the, you know, 400 visits and you get a free car or something like that. You're here on purpose to get things from the Spirit of God. So your hearts are pure. To some degree, you have already prepared yourself to come here. You know what it's going to be. You know who's going to be here. You know what's going to be going forth. So to some degree, you prepared your heart. And even to some degree, I believe that the majority of you get it. That when these truths go forth, you get them and you take them and you believe them. The persuasion of your heart, faith. You believe them and so you put them down. And I believe that most of you go to put them into action. All good things. Receiving the word with joy, good thing. Putting it into your life and making it make sense to you, good thing. That's the logic of God, the logos. Putting it down deep into your heart and mixing it with faith, good thing. Putting it into action in your life, in your speech, in the way that you look at yourself and the way that you interact with your community, good things. But there's one piece that's lacking when it comes to rocky soil. It's that patience. It's that endurance. You know, anybody can do anything for a little bit. Amen. Anybody can do anything for a little bit. But when you got to do it for a long time, and it takes a lot of effort, and it's really becoming burdensome, and not everybody's in the same place that you are. You know, this is where a lot of people, I can't tell you how many times, like when I was working on cars at Midas, that somebody would come in. We used to have cars show up probably about once a month, trucks, four-wheel drive trucks would show up on wreckers, usually on flatbed wreckers, and they'd show up pulling this four-wheel drive something. And they'd drop it off in our parking lot, and some dude would come in and say, dude, I was trying to do the brakes on my four-wheel drive truck, and I got that whole hub thing, and the front wheels all tore apart. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, in the hub of the older model cars of four-wheel drive trucks, there was a zillion pieces. I don't want to exaggerate. There was, I don't know, what, 1,000 pieces? Scott, maybe he can help me out. Maybe at least 100. There's 100 little pieces and pins and clips and shear pins and e-clips. And they all had to go in the right exact same order. It was literally a puzzle. And they would show up with these four-wheel drive vehicles on wreckers, and they'd dump them in our parking lot. And I actually had a guy one time came in with an egg box. And he came in and he said, here's all the pieces. And you put it back together. And I said, you're paying me by the hour. And I did. After 2-3 hours, got it all back together and everything worked out. Praise God. But this is the having all the pieces, you know, and knowing where they all go and putting them into action and keeping them that way, you know, it takes time and it takes effort and it takes purpose. A lot of people have the exuberance to start a project. Amen. Am I not the only one that's ever like started something and then, you know, like a couple months later, you're like, well, this was a big deal. And I'm totally not telling on myself, but you can go look in my backyard right now and there's one of those. I was going to build me a patio out of bricks. And bricks are heavy. And they're really tiresome to move around. And I really don't know a whole lot about building patios with bricks. And I don't know where to start, really. And it cost some money, too. And it was really hot out all last summer. And I don't know if I got the right, I don't know if it's leveled right, and you got to use a scree, and I looked it all up on YouTube, and it's a lot of work. So I got bricks in my driveway. Amen, telling on myself. But the same thing happens in the kingdom of God. You get, oh, that's a great truth. I want that benefit. That's a fruit that I want in my life. I want love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I want all those things in my life. So, okay, preacher, amen. I get it. Do this and I'll get this. Yeah, okay. That's where legalism will catch you. Stick a hook in your mouth. All right, well, go and do it there, cowboy. And you go out there and you start grinding and groaning and getting at it. And after a week, you know, you're like, hey, amen. It's, you know, it's going all right. How you doing? I'm good. Next week, hey, this ain't so fun. How you doing? I'm okay. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then third week, Ryan's good. And the third week, hey, how you doing? You know what? Stick it, preacher. How you doing? Ask me how I'm doing. My life's a mess. 3 weeks I've been doing what you told me to do in that last sermon. Look what it's got me. Got me nothing. Okay, well, you doing it from your heart? Well, no, I'm doing it because you said so. Okay. Well, God bless you for being obedient. But obedience is not the force that creates things in your life. Obedience is a response to the love of your Savior that creates things in your life. Being weary in well-doing, and we're going to get to that scripture later, is not about you getting weary from doing things. It's because you were trying to accomplish everything in your own strength, and so your strength got weary. Praise God. Praise God. They have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. I don't know what that time is, but here's what I'll tell you. The devil's willing to take you to that time. I don't know what it is. If you need to put these truths in your heart and, you know, it takes you, you know, there's stats about how you create habits and all that kind of stuff, whatever, you know, I'm not getting all that. The point is there's a certain point in your life to where it goes from you trying it and it goes to becoming part of the fabric of who you are, the fiber of your being, your heart, the core of you. You know, when I first found out that healing was part of God's atonement, of salvation, and Kay and I launched off and said, okay, salvation and healing, same moment, same time, same person. So we got them both together. So we're healed. We were sick for months. I ain't lying at all. I ain't lying a lick. In fact, this stuff right here that I'm dealing with right now, it's because God gave me a big revelation. I know for a fact that the enemy's really irritated with the fact that I got something. Anyway, the point is that you will be tested to whatever point that you can no longer endure it. Remember Jesus said that I will not allow you to be tested beyond what you're capable of enduring? So in other words, when you say, I am ready to give up, that's where your breakthrough is. That's where your breakthrough is. If you can go past the point of you being ready to give up, that's where your breakthrough is. Because then it will go past you just trying to do it, you just trying to make it happen, you just trying to do it because you got seen somebody else's testimony, somebody else's revelation. It goes from somebody else to becoming yours. There used to be, you know, Kay and I used to walk around quoting the scriptures because it was the scriptures about being healed. By his stripes I am healed. He himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. You know, all we quoted them all. We walk around, we'd be sick as dogs. Sick. Go to work. People say, how you doing? I'm healed. What is wrong with you? I'm healed, I said. You're not. Yes, I am. And for the first few months, you know what they're saying? Yeah, whatever, crazy Christian. And even we would be like, is this work? I mean, are we missing it? Is it for some other person? Like, did we? maybe this guy's a wacko preacher, you know, but all these other people are saying the same things, and that's what the scripture says. Well, I don't know. Let's just keep at it. And then you'd get like a victory. You're like, hey, that was kind of cool. We just beat that. And then, you know, 3 months would go by and you'd be sick and things would happen and you'd get aches and like, what? I ain't had an ache in my life and I've been aching for 9 months. And then you get another victory. And then you get another victory. And you used to have 3 or 4 week and a half long colds every year. And then some point you kind of look back and you reflect, you're like, you know, I only had like one cold last year and it only lasted for a few days. But hey, you know, this stuff's kind of working a little bit. You know, things are changing. You know, at some point it goes from you trying it to it being in the core, the center of who you are. And in that point, you know, now you come up to me and you say, well, you're sick because God didn't heal you. that just makes me want to giggle. Because God has totally healed me. Whatever I'm dealing with is because my thick head. But God has totally healed me. I need my thick head to align with that. Now it's not, the devil cannot come to me and say, well, you're not healed. Because it doesn't exist. Because my core, the core value of who I am, knows that I am healed, that I am healed, that I am healed. If I am saved, I am healed. They happen the same moment, and I know that I'm saved. When God rolls the clock back on this dude, we are going to go fly with him, and it's going to be a great day, and I know I've experienced Jesus to the degree that I know that I need to experience him, to know that he's my Savior, and he loves me, and I and him are one. I'm healed. I'm saved. They happen at the same time. But it took us months and months and years and years. And, you know, and even with our kids, when we were raising our kids and they would get sick when they were little, neither of our kids have ever been sick for any length of time for anything. Because they'd get sick, we'd lay hands on them, and they'd get healed. I mean, like, instantly. And sometimes it would just be within a few hours. All the time. They've never had, I don't think they've ever had any kind of medicine, ever got any kind of thing. Gunner's beat himself up a couple of times, had to go to the emergency room. But, you know, that was... And Hannah fell down in the river one time and busted her head open. But, you know, outside of, like, that kind of stuff, there's nothing. In fact, when they were little kids, they would just come up and they'd be feeling bad. They'd say, Daddy. And they'd just sit there and I'd lay hands on them. And they were ready to receive. And they knew it. They were raised in this kind of stuff. So now they both had to fight for it. Because they're outside of dad just usurping authority over the enemy in their lives. They have a free will. Now they have their own spirit. They have their own heart. So now they got to stand on it. And now they're both kind of like, this ain't as easy as it used to be. You know, you got to stand and fight. And we'd fuss at them and say, look, you better stand. Better stand against the enemy. It'll feel like it. Exactly. That's the point. When you don't feel like fighting is when you need to fight the most. When you feel like laying down, taking a nap, that's when you need to confess the word. That's when you need to fight back. That's where your victory is. Praise God. I did not get off track. The point is that you have to be diligent. You have to be purposeful that you are going to take this to eternity. If you're just going to try it out for some time, whatever that time limit that you put on your life for you trying it out, the devil will meet you right there. You declare that, and the devil will meet you there. I'm going to try this. I can't tell you how many times I wish somebody, some of you even probably said that to me, you know, said, well, I'm going to go try that. Don't you dare try that. Say, a very famous person said, there is no try. There's either do or do not, and his name is Yoda. Not that I want to quote Yoda on the CD, but there's no trying. There's no trying. If you try the things of God, you will get demolished. Could you imagine David going out there and say, you know, I'm going to go try to beat up the Philistine. You know, I'll give it a shot. Go out there, you know, I mean, he doesn't look that big from here. Hey, you boys, pray for me. You know, if he would have went out there and tried to face Goliath, we would not know that story today because he would have been another dead Jew. Amen. He went out there because he knew that he knew that he knew. But here's the other thing, too. He took 5 stones. Amen. Well, if he's a great man of faith, why did he need 5 stones? I don't know. Maybe he didn't have that much faith. Maybe he thought he'd miss 4 times. But either way, he was going out there to win. Amen. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be absolutely starch, you know, pressed and perfect with your faith. You just have to believe that you believe that you believe that it's the truth. And go out there and God will meet you. And if you remember the story, David hit on the first rock. And if you read the backside of 2 Samuel, you'll find out that Goliath had four siblings. Or four, they're not, one of them, he had a dad and he had three brothers. So there were four other giants, and it's a cool story to say, well, he took four stones because he, and I don't know, I'm not saying that's good or that's bad. I'm just saying that I believe that David in his heart knew that he was going to win. And why ever he took five stones, we can ask him later when we all get together. But the facts are, is that he went out there, he only needed one, and he won, and it's a great story. So do you want to have it as a story in your life, or do you want to be David? And face your giant. And know that you have something that will win. Amen. That's a really important truth. And they have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Here's the other thing too. The enemy doesn't want to get you to stop. He wants to get the word in you to stop. This is a... Man, I wished I would have got this revelation a decade ago. The enemy is not really after you. He really don't care about you. He doesn't care about anything. What he cares about is the word of God in a faith-filled person that can destroy his kingdom. Do you follow me? You and your flesh, you and your personal ability, you can't do anything to the enemy. He's not scared of you. You can't do anything to him. You can't stop his kingdom. You can't hurt his kingdom. In your natural ability, in the natural you, you've got nothing that makes him be even concerned. But one word of God in your heart makes you a giant slayer. Probably toddlers who have just basic truths. Gunner and Hannah used to do it with sickness and disease. They would stand against the devil and rack him. You just a little bit of word in your heart mixed with faith. Jesus said that just a mustard seed grain of faith can move a mountain. The enemy's not after you. He's after that word that's in your heart. If he can get you to doubt the word, he can get you to be useless against the battle of him. You've got nothing to offer. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. You have to wrestle with spiritual things, with spiritual things. You can't wrestle spiritual things with natural strength. You will lose. Ask Jacob. Dislocated hip. There are truths that you have to go and fight with, and if the enemy can get those truths out of your heart, out of your life, out of your circumstances, he can win. He's not after you. He's after the word of God in your heart. Why do you think you're so busy? Why do you think you're too busy to read the Bible? Why do you think you're too busy to be involved with the things that the kingdom of God wants you to be involved with? Why do you think you don't have time to sit down and pray? You think that's by accident? You think that's by God's will? Come on now, let's be honest. We're all grown-ups in here. Your life is being aligned either by God to get the word of God into your heart, or it's being aligned by the enemy to get the word of God out of your heart. And I will tell you, if you're too busy to do the things that you need in order to make the fertile ground of your heart have interaction with the seed and the moisture and the sunlight, if those things are not available to you because of your schedule, then your schedule is being dictated to you by the enemy. Oh, that's not going over very well. But for a while, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You know what immediately means? That means that at one point in your life, you probably just turned a corner. You know what? It doesn't work. Doesn't work. I tried it. I did it for months and months and months and months. That tithe and stuff, that don't work. Giving money into the church, waste of money. same people are working two or three jobs and overtime and doing all these things, and they're still not making it. But giving money to the church, that don't work. They got it all figured out. They get offended. And then you know what they do? They walk away from the church, and they tell everybody that, yeah, I tried that. I went to church. Bunch of hypocrites. They're all liars. All they want is your money. Craig, God bless him, I gave him a phone number of one of the youths that I have contact with. I didn't know this youth obviously changed his phone number. And so Craig sent out an invitation to go to our Koinonia, to our picnic, a couple of weeks ago. Just sent him a little text flyer that just had a picture of the four of them, the youth leadership, and just saying, hey, come on out for a free picnic. There's going to be games, and we're going to have a good time. You know, sponsored by Beloved Church. You know, we'd love to see you. And it was just a neat little flyer, and he sent this flyer to this number that he thought was one of his youth contacts, and he got this response. What kind of a person just tries to get people to be a part of your ministry? All you want is our money, and all you want is this and that. And I mean, just totally ripped Craig for inviting him to a picnic. And Craig was like, hey, Pastor, check this one. I'm like, okay, that's the wrong number. Just go ahead and remove that number out of your cell phone because, you know, what kind of a person, seriously, they were invited to a picnic. You know what that tells me? Whatever happened to that person in their life, this is the end result. They were offended. You know, I have never walked in a Walmart next to somebody and somebody at the Walmart say, these Walmarts, all they want is your money. I've never been standing in line at a movie theater. These movie theaters, all they want is their money. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have to. But yeah, people can walk into church. Oh, these churches, all they want is your money. What? How do you get from there to there? Nobody has a problem going to Walmart and taking the things that you need to benefit your life and paying for them. Nobody has a problem going to a movie theater and getting things that don't benefit your life and paying for them. But God forbid you go to a church and somebody takes up an offering. Well, that's all they want is money around here. Really? For the 90 seconds during a two-hour service that they ask for money, all they want is money? The rest of the time, they're pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. How long did that preacher study for that sermon? Do you know that answer? Well, no. How long did the praise and worship team practice those songs to get them right for you? I don't know. How long did they spend cleaning the church? How many people did it take to get the landscaping right and to get the church building right? How many things went into place for you to come in here and sit and have a great church service that you think is just all about money? Well, I don't know. I didn't think about it. Yeah, because you're offended. That's not what we're here for. That's not what the kingdom of God is here for. God's got more wealth than you could ever possibly imagine. The reason that he wants you to be involved financially is because that gives him an open door to get involved in your life financially, not because he needs your money. Dear Jesus, you think God's broke? You know, he could say plastic equals gold, and every one of us would be zillionaires because we got more plastic and we know what to do with. Amen. God would just speak it just like that, and it would be immediately that. God is not lacking for wealth. The reason that he's encouraging you to give into the kingdom of God is because it will benefit your life. It doesn't benefit God. You remember I think it's in Habakkuk, where it says that your sacrifices, your animal sacrifices are a stench in my nostrils. I hate them. He literally says that. I hate them. And you're like, what? You're the one that set up this whole animal sacrifice thing, God. And he says, do you think I need your bowl because I'm hungry? Do you think I need the blood from the sacrifice because I'm thirsty? If I was hungry, would I tell you? I mean, it literally says that in the Bible. I'll have to look it up for you and get you the reference. But God doesn't need anything from you to benefit him. It's for you to have a benefit. He wants you to connect with him emotionally because he can benefit your emotions. He wants you to connect with him in a family way because he can benefit your family. He wants you to connect with him financially because he can do a whole lot more with a whole lot less than you ever could. Not a single amen on that one. That's a good truth. God wants to partner with you, but the things that you won't give him, he can't partner with. Partnership is two people doing things together. God wants to be your partner. Amen. Praise God. Exodus 11, 19 and 20. I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. God has committed to you that if you want to get the stony things out of your heart, His anointing, His grace, and His power is there to remove them. Which means all He needs from you is a commitment. I want you to get this. If you find that there are stony places in your life that don't have the ability for the Word of God to go deep down, then you don't have to grind and groan and grunt to get rid of them. You just have to commit to the Lord, and His hands and His power and His ability will go into those places and do what you cannot do. This is important because people hear messages like this and they say, okay, I got to do some things. And your doing is believing. And then God does the doing. You believe, God does. Amen? Does that make sense? I don't want you to walk away from here, well, man, I got to go do this and go and do this and go do. No, you need to commit those areas in your belief system, in the way that you are. Commit those areas to the Lord and be willing to be diligent about your commitment. And then God's power is released to go and do what He's promised to do. It's His job to make the soil right. God creates soil. Amen? Ain't a single person in here ever made a pot of dirt and cannot. You can't make dirt. God makes dirt. God's the creator. He's the one that made the dirt. What you do is you commit the dirt to God, and God keeps it right. You follow me? Because I don't want you to go away out here and say, man, I got to do and do and do and do. It doesn't work that way. What you are, you be. You think right, and then you have right. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, talking about the Israelites that died in the desert. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. If you don't mix these truths in your heart with faith, then they're just going to never have enough soil to have their roots go down and produce fruit in your life. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do you make sure that your ground stays moist? How do you make sure that your ground has sunlight? How do you make sure that your ground has the right amount of depth of earth, the right nitrogen compound? Then you hear, and you hear, and you hear, and you hear the Word of God. I have never talked to a farmer in the middle of summer, and I said, hey, do you need rain? And they ever said no. Every time I ever talked to a farmer in the middle of summer, hey, do we need some rain? Yeah, we could use some rain. It rained yesterday. Yeah, but we could use some today. Well, it rained last week. Yeah, we could use some today. Like, man, how much rain do you need? All we can take. You should be that way with the Word of God. How much Word of God do you need? As much as you can handle. Amen. Look for opportunities to get the Word of God into your life. There's a lot of venues to get the Word of God in today's world. Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of the water of the Word. God's Word is the water that will go into your soil to produce the fertileness. Let me give you, I'm not trying to get scientific on you, but do you know what makes a seed grow? It's the water. You know, a seed, if it just sits dry, I mean, you see farmers all the day going down the road carrying big old crates of seed that are in dry bags. And those seeds aren't, you know, could you imagine going down the road and seeing some farmer in a truck with a bunch of seed and then all these corn stalks sticking out of these bags? No, the seed is not growing. It's not germinating. What does the seed need to germinate? Dirt. And water. Even just being in dirt's not going to make it germinate. It needs water. So I checked this out. I looked this up. And you know that water, there's nothing about water that actually makes the seed grow. What makes the seed grow is that the water activates things that are already in the seed. How beautiful is that? The water, God's word going into your heart, just activates the things that are already in you. God's word is just activating things that are already in you. Oh, that is so beautiful. You don't need, so in other words, check this out. You don't need something to come in for God to have access to it, to use it, to make it productive in your life. It's already there. It's already resident in you. You just need God's word to come in and mix with it so it germinates and produces. But what you need is already in you. Ephesians 3:20 says that now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power that works in you is already resident in you. When his word comes into your life, all it's doing is activating the power that already currently exists there. His word is not coming and adding things to your life. His word is coming and expounding things and activating things and making things relevant and making things logical and making things. His word itself is not actually doing anything in your life other than activating everything that's already been put in there at that moment of salvation. We are complete. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says that he is all that filleth all in all. And we are complete in him. Those are beautiful scriptures. He fills all in all. Jesus himself is complete. Perfectly complete. Jesus is everything. And then when he comes into you, you are complete. So you need the word to explain to you how complete you are. Praise God. And be not weary in well doing, for if you do not faint, you will reap. If you don't get weary in well doing, Galatians 6:9. If you don't get weary in well doing, you shall reap. So I went to the Lord in prayer because I was thinking about a specific person that was on my heart. This was a long time ago. And I was asking the Lord, what's going on with this person? Not that long, they were passionate about the kingdom of God. Passionate about the kingdom of God. I mean, could not get enough. Was the first person at church. Was the first person at all the meetings. Was the first, was the one kind of sometimes organizing get-togethers and making all these things happen. And then they just stopped. I mean, they slowly, I mean, it wasn't like one night. It was over the course of a few months. They just quit. And I was praying and I'm like, Lord, what needs that? And what he told me, this was so amazing. He said they were very passionate about the things of God. And look, here's what happened. They had children. The children started to turn around. Husband started to turn around. Things in their life were becoming incredible. Their finances started turning around. Circumstances in their life, everything in their life started getting good. Good. So you know what they did? Hey, things are getting good. Why do all this passionate stuff? And so they slowly started to edge off all that passion that they once had in their life. And it was a very slow fade. Very slow fade. And I said, Lord, but some of these things are still working in their lives. And he said, and I had to kind of look this up because I didn't understand it. He said, volunteers. And I'm like, volunteers? Are they like volunteering for stuff? And I looked it up, and volunteers is something that you call leftover seeds left in a garden. Amen. You all know what you all know what volunteers are because you all have gardens. You plant a garden and the tomato grows, right? And it drops tomatoes because you can't pick them all, or one didn't look good enough, and so it fell off, or a bug ate the stem or something. And so next year, you didn't plant any tomatoes, but you get tomatoes. Why? Volunteers. Volunteers. And that's what he told me was going on in this person's life. They've got volunteers. They're still living. There's still some fruit that's showing up in their life, but it's just a little bit. And before that long, you know, if you just think that your garden is going to exist on volunteers, it won't happen. Your garden will never exist on volunteers. You'll get less and less, and there won't be none. And that's basically what's going to go on. And I'm like, Lord, what's the solution? Passion. Passion and fervency for the things of God. Don't live from the volunteers. Don't start a cycle. Don't start getting things going in your life. And then when they start perpetuating, say, okay, well, everything's good now, and just back off. and let the kingdom of God fall apart on you. Don't live from the volunteers. Keep tilling the soil. Keep putting in the plants of the Word of God. Keep allowing the moisture of God's Word to get into your heart. Keep allowing the sunlight to come in there, and don't let it scorch. Let things go down deep. Amen. I hope this helped you guys. These are some really powerful truths. Amen. Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you that these are not those that get weary in well-doing. This is not the group that does not mix your Word with faith in their hearts. But these are the ones that mix your Word with faith in their hearts. And they are the ones that stay continually on fire, continually passionate about who you are and about the things of your kingdom, and that they bring forth perpetual fruit all the time because they're passionate about you. This is not about works. It's not about legalism. It's not about activity. This is about them aligning their hearts with your truths so that you have access to all the areas of their life. Father, I thank you that this is a very fertile place for your Word and that these are very passionate people. And proclaim this over them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Bless you, family. Appreciate you. If you brought any treasure, drop it all off in the chest. Don't forget about, there's really awesome things on the website. Free materials. Take all that you can get. Keep yourself passionate. Be passionate, people. Amen.